Aaron l'mor. Ish mizarachol et erosom. Asher ye bomum. Ne posuk yudayim. Daber el Aaron l'mor. Ish mizarachol et erosom. Asher ye bomum. If one of your descendants has a physical flaw, that the Torah is going to describe later on what is considered a flaw, lo yikrab, let him not come close lehakriv lechem elokov, to bring korbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. A descendant of Aaron that has to bring korbonis in the Beis HaMikdash has to be physically perfect. Ki kol ish asher bo mum lo yikrov. Why? Because if he has a mum, he shouldn't bring korbonos. This is a very difficult pasuk, you see, because the beginning of pasuk yud ches, ki kolish asher boy mum lo yikrov, seems to be a reason. Ki is usually the introduction of a reason, right? Do such and such and such and such because ki, right? Zochorish yom haShabbos lekatzoy, keep the Sabbath. Ki sheishes yomim also Hashem. It's a reason. Here, the law and the reason is the same. You see, ish mizarachol ederosom asher iye bo mum. If you have if one of your descendants has a flaw, lo yikrav. Ki because kolish asher bo mum lo yikrav. Yeah, keep the Sabbath because you must keep the Sabbath. It doesn't make any sense. How can the law and the reason be the same? Now, the Meshech Chochmah brings down, and the first part of what the Meshech Chochmah says, I've seen in many Sforim. As a matter of fact, in the Mayona Shel Torah, which is a compilation of different Sforim, it brings down this pshat, and it brings down, he quotes, Sforim, which means there's too many to enumerate. And what is the idea? The idea behind it is the following. It's just that the Meshech Chochmah takes this idea and goes one step further, and that's the Chiddush of the Meshech Chochmah. The idea behind all this pshatim that clarify what the pasuk means is the following. Physically, a human being would be perfect if his soul would be perfect. Why? Because the human body is just the physical level of his soul. It's not that man happens to be a soul. A person is a soul and he's a body. The same way that you have a bodily hand, you have a spiritual hand. Right? It's a reflection of the soul. You know, the body is an actual reflection of the soul. This is why the Mefarshim say that why do we have Shasa, right? 365 mitzvot lo saseh, because we have Shasa Gidim. We have 365 sinews, right? And why do we have 248? So here you have a clear connection. Our spiritual parts, sinews, right, express themselves in physical ones. So therefore, if we do a mitzvah with our physical one, it will affect our spiritual one.
He's saying that somebody who, is born with some kind of physical defect, that from the word go is ef shallow, that he should come.
Wait. Okay, we'll come to that. So it says like this: if a person has a flaw, right? Or let's put it another way: in a world without human flaws, right? Human beings, right, would not have any flaws. Here, in a world without spiritual flaws, human beings wouldn't have physical flaws. So You are saying, so what? So mean children wouldn't be born with flaws? That's right. Children wouldn't be born with flaws. The reason why they are is because humanity in general committed sins with particular parts of their body, right? With that spiritual body. So therefore, humanity suffers by children being born with certain flaws, right? That reflect a certain shortcoming, a certain flaw in humanity in general. It's not such a novel idea. We know that the Mephoshim say that the whole world is supposed to reflect the spiritual level of the Jewish people and of people in general. Remember, the second portion of Kriya Shema is clear, obvious, that in a perfect world, nature reacts perfectly. Right? The Torah says it clearly. If you listen to my commandments, then it rains in the perfect time, in the perfect amount, right? Doesn't bother anybody the rain, right? You have as much food as you want. The moment you don't do mitzvahs, what is the Torah telling you? That there is a cause and effect relationship between flaws in nature and flaws in the spiritual nature of men. I mean, the Torah says it. Yeah.
I wonder if there should be much less percentage of people with noses that don't work than other organs.
Because
you smell the only one people didn't sin by.
The other Mauritian didn't sin. Yeah. So, okay. I don't know. No answer. But in any case, there is a relationship. There is a relationship. Now, so the pshat that is brought down, right, is the following. Daber el Aron lemor, ish mizaracho lederosh amashir bo mum lo yikrav. A person who is not physically perfect shouldn't bring a korban. Ki kolisha sherboi mum lo yikrav. He himself can't come close. There is something wrong with him. His physical nature reflects a spiritual flaw. So now it makes sense. Don't do it because there is something wrong with you. He can't come close. He's not perfect. So that's a reason. Now, for it's possible. The thing is like this. Me personally didn't bother that in a perfect world there would be no physical imperfections. However, the Mishneh Chochmah brings down a midrash. The midrash is here on the spot in the Torah's Kohanim. The midrash says like this. What about, says the midrash, if he has a mum, right? Meaning, if all of a sudden he became blind, right? If all of a sudden he became blind, then he can't work in the Beit HaMikdash. What about if he was born blind or with blind in one eye? Right? Says the Midrash. Yes, we learn it out from this and this and this pasuk that even if he was born with a flaw, he shouldn't do it. He shouldn't bring the korban. Which means that the Midrash is telling you that there is less reason for someone who is born with a flaw, right, not to bring korbanos. So the Mishneh Chochmah says a very, very good chiddush, but he backs it very strongly with a gemara in Sanhedrin Yudalit. Let me tell you the theory of the Mishneh Chochmah. His theory is the following: that even though there is a direct cause and effect relationship between physical flaws and spiritual flaws, right, there is also a tendency for nature, right, or for Hashem to cover up that cause and effect relationship. You hear this? Therefore, since there is a tendency of Hashem, let's call it Hashem, there is a tendency for Hashem to cover up any direct cause and effect relationship. In other words, even though it exists, He covers it up. And how does he cover it up? By many times, right, causing, right, that there should be flaws in human beings independent of their spiritual flaws. Why? Because God tries to cover up connections that show us human flaws. You hear the theory of the Mesha Chochmo? That is his theory, which means like this. Without the Mesha Chochmo, what were we saying? That really there is a cause and effect relationship between spiritual flaws and physical flaws. What the Mesha Chochmo does is it goes one step further and he says the following. It's true there is a cause and effect relationship. But whenever there is a cause and effect relationship that would tell us there is something wrong with you, Hashem tries to cover it up, the cause and effect relationship.
More than Hashem.
What? Much more than Esther Ponim. Even before there was that myth of Esther Ponim, that already existed. It's stronger than Esther Ponim, even though it's a type of Esther Ponim. Right?
Is there a reason for this?
He's going to bring no reason, just a strong basis from the Gemara.
How does he cover it up?
What? How does he cover it up? That many times a tzaddik will also have a flaw. Oh. Right? Where do we find such a concept? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Yudalek says like this.
By
some Rishonim not suffering because of it. Either way, yes, you're right. I'm just giving one of the examples. Listen to this Gemara and how the Mesha Chochmo derives that from this Gemara. The Gemara says like this.
Where is it?
Sanhedrin Yudalek. Says like this. Maise Berabban Gamliel. There was a story with Rabban Gamliel that called upon seven people to come and decide whether we should add an extra month to the year. There the question was whether to add an Odor Sheni or not. So he called seven. He sent seven invitations. Hishkim Umotso Shmoino. He comes and he finds eight people. That means that one came uninvited. It must be that he himself didn't know who was invited. He just said seven people should be chosen. Omar Mihu She'olo She'loi Bereshus. Then he said, who is the one that's here without permission? Omar Shmuel HaKoton. So Shmuel HaKoton was a very great talent. He said, Anihu She'olishi She'loi Bereshus. I am the one who is here without permission. And he says, V'loi Laber Asher Alisa. I only came up in order to learn. So Omar Loi Shave Bni Shave. So Gamliel says, oh, okay, fine, just sit, don't worry about it. You're a great person. Whatever. Says the Gemara, Veloi Shmuel HaKotin Habe. The truth of the matter is it wasn't Shmuel HaKotin, it was somebody else who was there without permission. Elo Bat Ine Shacharine Umachmas Kisufeu Deobad. He only did it to cover up for the other one. Now, whoever it was there without permission. Somebody's going to be embarrassed, right? So he covered up somebody else's embarrassment. Kiho, Diyosiv, Vekodorish, Veoriach, Reachshum. Could Yosef Rebbe? Rabbeinu HaKodesh was once giving a shir, and all of a sudden he smelled garlic. Omar, Misheoch al Shum Yetze. So he said, whoever ate garlic should leave. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi. Omar, Rabbi Chiye, the main disciple of Rabbi, Viyotso, he got up and he left. Omdu Kulan Viyotso, he left, everybody left. Right? The Beshachar Motu Rabbi Shimon Berebi. So, Rav Shimon, the son of Rabbeinu HaKodesh, meets Rav Chiye, Omar Lei, Ato Hu Shetziarto Le'abo? How come you ate garlic? Omar Loi, Loite Kazoiz Bisrael? No, I think I'm going to eat garlic before I come to the shir, right? But I did it in order not to embarrass whoever did eat garlic. He said the Gemara. The Rabbi How does he know to do such a thing? How does he know that there is such a concept of trying to cover up? That was the Gemara. How does Rav Chiya know that there is a concept to cover up if a Jew does something wrong?
What? Rabbi himself was happy to.
To what? That he should have all that?
No, Rabbi told him to the Angelicus.
Yeah.
That Rabbi wasn't concerned. He said, so why was he concerned?
Okay, that's the Gemara's question. Now, why is he concerned? Why does he try to cover up? I mean, if somebody ate garlic, he deserves it. I mean, whoever ate garlic, it's his fault. I mean, you don't expect to be allowed to stay in the shir. That's the idea. You don't expect to eat garlic and stay in the shir, right? And why do you have to go out of your way to cover up for the man who ate garlic? That's what the Gemara's question. How did he learn it? Rabbi Meir, he learned it from Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, Maise Bisho Achashebos on the base medrash. Here the next story. A woman came to the base medrash of Rabbi Meir, Omro Loy Rebbe, Echod Nikem Kedishani. One of you married me. Right? So right away Rabbi Meir wrote a gift, he wrote a divorce paper and gave it to her. Right? Because of the get creases. So then everybody said, okay, so we'll also write it. So each one wrote it, gave her a gift, and now she's divorced, whoever. As the Gemara, of course, our mayor wasn't the one. Of course, he only did it in order for the rest of it. The Rabbi Meir may have gone law. And again, the Gemara is surprised. Why does Rabbi Meir have to do it? Why does he have to cover up for someone who deserves embarrassment? Right? From somebody else. There was somebody called Shchonio Ben Yechiel in the time of Ezra Soifer.
Who?
Shchonio Ben Yechiel is mentioned in Sefer Ezra. What happened? That he divorced his wife when Ezra told all the Jews who married Gentiles to divorce their wives, right? So he divorced his wife. Anachnu mo'alnu beloikeinu. He said, listen, we have to do tshuva, we have to divorce our wife. That's what Shchanya ben Yechiel says to Ezra. And he was married to a Jewish woman. So why did he do it? To cover up for those who had married Gentile women. Again, you do something wrong, you deserve to be embarrassed. Why is it my obligation to cover up for you? Then the Gemara, so how did he know it? That there is such a concept. So this is the final point. The final point is we learn it from God Himself. How do we learn it from God Himself? Because it says like this: when the Jews, after conquering in Sefer Yoshua, after conquering Jericho, right, they were very successful in Jericho. They went to the next city, the city of Ai, and in the city of Ai, they had a terrible defeat. In the first encounter, but whatever they did, in the Tanakh it says 36 Jews died. So Jews were very upset. Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua, they came to Yoshua. So Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua, Kum Leich, Choto Yisrael, the Jews sinned. The story was that one of the Jews, one of the Jews had benefited himself from the spoils of Jericho, right? And nobody was allowed to benefit from the spoils of Jericho, and one of the Jews did. Okay. Omar the phone of Ribono Shel Olam, mi choto, who is the one that sinned? Whoever sinned deserves that something should be done to him, right? Omar Loi, so God said to him, Vechi de la Torani. Am I a talebearer? Hatel Goraloi, find out for yourself. So what do you see? That even Hashem himself covers up. Vibo Seimo. All right. Anyway, anyway, you find out, right? I mean, anyway, so who does the gorilla is not God. Right? So what's the idea behind it? Obviously, the idea is the lesson. Says the Meshech Chochmah, the lesson is just, not just a lesson, right? If it's a lesson, it should be learned from Avraham Avinu. Usually we learn lessons from the Avos, right? When we say we learn a lesson from God Himself, what it really means is that there is something in nature that shows that particular characteristic. You hear? Usually we learn lessons from people. Right? When it says we learn a lesson from God, it's not just something that God said. It's much deeper than that. It's part of the way God runs His world. Says the Meshech Chochmah, this is Pshat in the Pasuk, which means like this. The flaw of a human being, right, is a direct result of the human being's sins. But if that would work all the time, it would go against the nature of Hashem that we see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Yud Aleph, of not covering it up. The nature of God is to cover it up. So what is the way to cover up? Right? To make other people suffer the same consequences, not for the same action, and to make people of the same action not suffer these consequences but other consequences. Meaning, God messes up the cause and effect relationship between the flaw, the spiritual flaw, and the physical flaw.
For a principle like that, he makes the reason suffer.
Again, I tell you, I'm not. He doesn't say the reason. You know, he doesn't justify Hashem, right? He just saying this is the way it works. Okay. Yes. You have the same question in the Gemara too. In order to save Ochon, right? He's ready that the 36 Jews should die, right? Because Hashem is not going to tell Yeshua that Ochon committed a sin. You hear what happened? Hashem doesn't tell anybody that Ochon committed a sin. He lets the Jews find out on their own. Why? Because God doesn't want to be a talebearer. So therefore, He lets 36 Jews die. I don't have no answer. I'm just telling you, we are not concerned right now with the fairness, with the justice of it. We are more concerned with finding out how does God run His world, not why or how it makes sense. We have no answer to where is the justice of it.
This is a theory to a principle into a medrash.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it means that there's Hester Panim inherent, intrinsic in the very world, and you can never get away from a measure of Hester Panim. There's never going to be any complete Guru Shkina.
Right.
Also contradicts the Midrash about when the man came down, the position of the man near the door of the tent precisely indicated every person's level where he was holding.
Right. Yeah.
So the Rosh Hashanah didn't mind us knowing that that man's a tzaddik and that man's a noble.
Right.
He had to walk 2 miles for his man.
Okay. And it's a good question what you're asking. On the surface, the situation of the man, where the man was found, was a clear indication of your level, which contradicts the Meshech Chochmah. The Meshech Chochmah says that whatever shows our level is covered up, right? Here, by the man, not. Right? By the man.
Other things, right? By lots of other things, not also.
By what else? According to the what?
Prophecy in itself is an indication of where somebody's holding.
Oh,
okay, I mean
the man was a break from normal nature.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, it doesn't happen nowadays.
It's not only that. The whole idea of man is that it's spiritual food.
You're in a physical
world. It's not a physical world. There's the way God relates to this physical world as a measure of our spiritual level is never exact, according to the Meshech Chochmah.
Something I don't understand at all is that if a physical moment is an expression of a spiritual moment, then presumably you're getting it as some indication that you're spiritually lacking at something and you should do what you can to correct it.
Right.
So if there's no indication by the nature of the physical world that this is the reason, then the people who need it most are less in touch with it. The people who need it the least don't have to worry about it because they understand that to begin with, and they're not going to have those problems.
Yeah.
If they do have those problems, they'll understand that they're not really demonstrations physical manifestations of the spiritual problem, and it seems to serve no purpose whatsoever.
Let me put the question in a much sharper focus, with a direct contradiction to the Gemara. The Gemara says like this, Odom roye she yisurim boin olov, if a person sees that he has yisurim, that something is wrong with him, yifashfesh b'masov, says the Gemara. What's that? Yifashfesh b'masov? Let him search out what caused it. What is the Gemara assuming?
He'll find it.
He'll find the cause and effect relationship.
No.
Does the Gemara say yifashfesh b'masov?
No, doesn't mean
it's
right.
What?
Isn't it going to be right?
So what is it? Why does the Gemara advise us to do it if he's not going to be right?
Doesn't become quicker. To fix something to correct. If you fix the wrong thing, it's not going to hurt. So obviously, it's actually goes through the process.
You are right, but it's much better than what you say. You're right, but there's much more. You're only saying half of it. Why?
Why?
So you know, it's a trick. That meaning, the truth of the matter is, if you got sick, right? And you find that you didn't give charity that day, right? Really, you are being silly for making the cause and effect relationship, but why not? It doesn't hurt, so why not make it? There's something absurd about it. You know what I mean? The Torah wouldn't be playing games with us. Meaning, as if the Torah is telling you should know that it has nothing to do with it. But you should fool yourself into believing it does, because after all, it will make you a better person. You hear how weak it sounds. I mean, it just doesn't sound right.
This is not process, and you do the best you can. What's the problem? It's like everything else in this world.
Okay, but someone compared it, right? Let's say a person, all of a sudden, right, he ate a meal, and he got so sick that he almost died, right? Now, he doesn't know whether he drank something before, right, and then he ate this and this, and then he smoked a cigarette, and then he did this. And he starts thinking, what caused me to almost die, right? And he says, well, there are 10 possibilities. 10 possibilities. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe something else. Such a person, right, if his life is dear to him, right, will he eat any of the 10 foods? Right. If he ate 10 new foods, let's say, I mean, that's a theoretical case, 10 new foods, right, would he next day say, well, I'm allowed to eat this, because what are the chances that this is the reason? Will he say, Bittul Beroi? Well, listen, it's only 1 out of 10, why shouldn't I eat it? What do you think? What? Definitely, what do you say? He definitely would need it. I mean, the more important life is to him, the less chance he's going to take. Why? Because he says, for sure there is a cause for it. As long as my eating grapes could have been the cause of my almost dying, right, I'm not going to take any chances. Now, the fact that he's not going to eat grapes, is that a statement that says, I found the cause and effect relationship? Not at all. It's an expression of how important life is to me. You hear? It's not an expression of my belief that I found the right course. It's my expression of the value I give to my life, that even something that just may be a cause is sufficient. Okay? When the Gemara says yifashfesh b'maaso, right, it means like this. Do we as Jews believe that it's possible that the reason why we get sick on a certain day is because we didn't give charity? Is it possible? Could there be such a cause and effect relationship?
Yes.
There is a possibility. I mean, everybody will agree that if we are believing Jews, that there might be such a possibility, right? Now, if there is such a cause and effect relationship, right, If we take it seriously, why should we take a chance? Right? So, it doesn't tell you what is. The fact that it could be shows you that you take the possibility seriously. That's all we want. Yefashmeish b'masov doesn't tell you that you'll ever find the exact cause and effect relationship, right? As a matter of fact, if you claim that you found it, right, either you're a balgaive, which means that someone who believes that he's a prophet, or he's a fool. No one ever knows the real cause and effect relationship except God or a prophet. No one ever knows. The greatest tzaddik, except of course, if by process of elimination he says, I didn't do anything wrong. Right? I only did one thing wrong in my life.
And that was being a barbarian.
Well, I mean, if there is such a thing, you could say, well, maybe he will find that cause and effect relationship. Right? What?
Moshe, he's been very, very sick.
Then?
And he assisted my thing. And he said it was because he took some extra pleasure when he was back in Europe when he was like a kid, so living with somebody that he took like extra dive or something in a certain shot or he had. I don't know what it was.
Yeah?
Moshe said he said
hard to believe. He would never talk like that, did he? Not that he didn't think it. He never said it over.
Well, it might have only said it came out after the...
Oh, good day. Good day.
Where did
it
come out from? You must have said it somewhere.
Well, it's just somewhere.
Yeah.
One
piece. Yeah.
I got a question about Hester Pani in relationship to position. First of all, I thought that Hester Pani didn't begin until after the Churban...
By Swisha.
Right.
You're right.
So, this would... we said earlier that this was not really Hester Panim, but something like it.
Something like it. In other words, a lower level, which means like this. The Chidush, the novelty of the Meshech Chochmah is that even without Hester Panim, right, there is the idea that expressed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that God covers up the guilty. There is a concept that God doesn't reveal the guilty. Okay.
And this would answer the question on the Marn that at that time it was perfectly all right. Without a kind of Hester Panim,
right?
So it was perfectly all right for people to have indications of the Madregas in the way they received the Marn.
I couldn't think.
Well,
the Maisa with Yeshua was before
was after the Marn.
Was after the Marn long before
before the Hester Panim.
Right.
So what he's saying again that to us that
I think that. The Mon was before the time of Hester Panim.
Well, it was a special state that was a trial for the Jews whether they can live in a purely spiritual state. That even the food was completely spiritual. At that state, right, it's not a physical expression of your level. There is no Hester. Mon is a contradiction to Hester Panim. Because you don't even eat, you live from spiritual sources.
Right, but that was not a period of
Hester Panim.
So it's not.
It's not a period of Hester Panim. Right, you're right. It's not a period of Hester Panim. I had a question on the Meshech Chochmah that I have no answer for. What? So the point is like this: very simple. That Mifashvet Bemaso, which is the source that everybody uses, that you can find a cause for something that happens. Let's say a calamity happens, right? Everybody says, the Gemara says that you are supposed to find the cause. Ridiculous. The Gemara never says you are supposed to find the cause. Right? The Gemara only says that we are supposed to search for the possible cause, right? And take all possible causes and avoid them. That's called the Fashmas Bemaso. So that means that the Torah tells us that there is a certain cause and effect relationship. I mean, do we have the right to say that something happened because Jews didn't keep Shabbos well? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You remember this story? Story came up, well, you know why this accident happened? Because, you know, because Jews didn't keep Shabbos. It's ridiculous. He's saying, I'm a prophet. And I know the cause and effect. Nobody can say the cause and effect relationship, right? And the proof that they bring is from the Gemara. If I switch my mouth, so the Gemara doesn't mean that. The Gemara means, if you take it seriously, don't take a chance.
Who says this?
What?
Who says this?
But the body flesh has been matzav. This is the common shot. It's not who that is the common shot. That's because the Gemara says it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says in that Gemara, the same Gemara where it continues the relationship between cause and effect, it says like this: the rabbis came into a certain rabbi who had lost a lot of money because all his wine became sour. That's what the Gemara says. All his wine became sour. Yeah. Well, I said the Gemara says, but Rashi says it on this one. Says, so they say to him, maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you did something wrong. Right? Says Rashi, because they knew that he had done something wrong and they didn't want to tell it to him, that's why they asked, maybe you did something wrong. Why does Rashi have to say that? Rashi, on the spot in the Gemara in Brochet, I don't remember if that's A, that's all. Somebody learned Brochet would remember where it is. It's
brought down.
But you remember the Gemara in Brochet? That's Gemara in Brochet?
Mm.
So, it's an amazing Rashi. Rashi has to add, the rabbis knew that he did something wrong, but they didn't want to say it to him. Why does Rashi have to say that they knew it was that they did something wrong? Because, what are we saying? Otherwise, what do we have to say? That whenever your wine became sour, there is a specific sin that you can pinpoint. It's ridiculous. It's sometimes yes, sometimes not. Right? But if the rabbis knew, right, then it makes sense that they should ask the question. Maybe you did something wrong. And then it makes sense what the rabbi said. Listen, I can figure it out, but you must know something, so let me hear. This is what the rabbi said to the visitors. Right? So they said, yeah, we heard something. We heard that you are not being too honest with your Oris, with the person who remember the Gemara? The person, right? What? That person, the Gentile, who works for you. Because you are supposed to give him a certain amount of the wood of the tree, and you don't give him. And then he said, what do you mean? That's stealing. You know how much he steals from me? So they said to me, yes, it's true, but you're in your Madrid, you should be even overly honest. Right? What does the Gemara say? Clearly, they knew that there was something wrong, so this is why they made the cause and effect relationship. Right? Implication. But if wine became sour, right, do we have to assume that he did something wrong? Only if you know, but if you don't know, you have no reason to assume. Isn't that what the Gemara says?
You said that Shabbat is a vice in the Gemara.
Yes, but why does the Gemara say vice that he asked them, you must know, so tell me what I did wrong? But why should he assume that they knew? Yes, sir. Why should he, the rabbi who lost money, assume that they knew something was wrong? Because they figured otherwise they wouldn't have told me you must have done something wrong. Because what? Every time my wine became sour, it means that I did something wrong? Not necessarily.
You're supposed to search, no matter what.
Of course you're supposed to search.
So what's wrong with saying this?
But the searching doesn't mean that there are.
You follow what I'm saying? No, but you're supposed to search.
You're supposed to search.
Right.
But is it possible?
So does that mean what? You can always say to the person, search your actions.
Search your actions. Does that mean that the Gemara means to say, because by searching you'll find the right one?
No, but you can always say search your actions.
Yes, definitely.
So then why does Rashi have to go into...
Why would he say that? Why would they say it to him, right?
Because
you must have done something wrong.
Obviously, you didn't say search your actions.
Search your actions, but why say you must think? You must have. So you
that's
realize that they are hinting that they know what?
It's very good. That's mushroom if you know that a person did something wrong.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you can say to them, you must have something wrong.
Yes.
It's mushroom that they were able to put the connection together. They weren't prophets.
What do you mean?
Well, how would they have
they
put the connection together?
They were helping him.
On the possibility.
They were helping him.
Yeah.
Become better.
So he really knew he'd done something wrong.
He knew. They knew
that. They knew because of this.
Of course not. But you have the obligation to make the possible connection or not. You have that obligation.
Oh, so then same thing here. If you know that the country does something wrong.
Yes.
You know that the country's doing something wrong.
Yes.
So why can't you put together, why can't you say possible?
Exactly. Your posture is the matter. But can you say cause and effect relationship?
No, you can say maybe.
Exactly. That's you. Not only can you say, you have the obligation to say.
Okay.
You have the obligation to say. Since maybe this is the cause, so why not change it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is the maximum you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why can't you say for sure? Because of the Meshech Chochmah's point. Because of the cover-up. say. I have one problem with him, Mr. Hoffman.
So then the problem is then the presumption is that the person who has something wrong with him.
Yeah.
And maybe camera. I was going to say if somebody has something a mum.
Yeah.
Then you would tell that person, search your actions too. You must have done something wrong.
Right. According to the Mr. Hoffman. Right. We say do it, but it's possible that you'll never find.
The measure implies
that it's possible that you'll search and you'll never find. Right? Now, the only problem that I have with the Meshech Chochmah is Tzoras. What about Tzoras? How does the Meshech Chochmah learn Tzoras? Leprosy. But Tzoras happened after they came in. They came into Israel. It's a physical thing. How does he learn Tzoras? Isn't Tzoras, according to the Torah, an obvious case of sin, of wrongdoing?
How do we know?
I have no answer. What?
How do we know that? I wanted to cover up that.
So I'm sure that the Meshech Chochmah would say yes. So what does it come out? I mean, it's a very big
thing. So,
but according to the Meshech Chochmah, I mean, I have no choice. And we must say that the Meshech Chochmah will learn. It means that in general, Lashon Hara causes Tzoras. Is it possible that a person who didn't speak Lashon Hara should get Tzoras? According to the Meshech Chochmah, we must say yes. It's a very big chiddush. I haven't found it anywhere else, such a chiddush. But the Meshech Chochmah says it with a certainty. There is a cover up. Hashem covers up. In this physical world, there's a built in cover up long before the Esther falling prophet.
That cover up is making somebody atomic.
Yes.
For no reason at
yes,
all.
Yes, for no reason at all. It's just to cover up.
I mean, to embarrass someone in a way that it would be difficult to find something more embarrassing than that.
Good. I mean, but the fact that there is a cover up, right? So you can always say, well, so therefore I'm only suffering for the rest. I don't
know. What you say is you take the innocent and make them suffer for the guilty.
Yes, that's exactly what the Meshech Chochmah says. Right? Everybody walks out, right? Because somebody ate the garlic. Right? That's what Hashem is doing.
Better than garlic, and then
that person can become five meters because of that Tzoras that he gets, even though he got it from
their fault
in his own.
Fine. 36 people died, right, in Ai, because Hashem was covering up who committed the sin. Women, I have no answer about the fairness of it. There is no fairness. I don't see any fairness in it. But we see the Derech Hashem for some reason. There is a Derech Hashem of Lechapos, that is the Gemara Sanhedrin. The riot, the proof of the Gemara Sanhedrin is very powerful. Whatever you have, you will have to explain the Meshech Chochmah, you'll have to explain the Gemara Sanhedrin. Okay?
Anybody talk about the come back at the Meshech Chochmah?
I haven't seen any. I mean, it's too recent that anybody should. It's too recent the Meshech Chochmah. I don't see. I haven't seen anybody who.
6 years ago, right?
Yeah, but sorry, that's relatively recent. You know that somebody after the Meshech Chochmah should come and argue in the Meshech Chochmah. Nobody's in that level. Okay.
Let's go.